Praise his name. Are you happy to be out this morning? Let's stand together if you would. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Lord Jesus, we're truly thankful that, Lord, we can come with a desire in our hearts, Lord, to live for you, Lord, to become a prisoner, a love slave, oh God, to you, Word. Lord, I ask that you would just bless us this morning. Bless us with the understanding and revelation of thy word, Lord, that we may know how to walk, Lord, and where we can draw closer to you. That's our prayer, Father. Bless each and every one now, Lord, that's come. May you just reveal yourself to us in a mighty way this morning. Feed our souls, O God, Lord, that we may walk in all righteousness. Lord, we ask this in your precious name. For we know it's only you, it's your grace in our lives, Lord, for us to even have a desire to come. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Have your way in the remainder of the service. Truly, may you get the glory in everything we ask in your precious name. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would. I'd like to. On page 202 in our big books there. I must tell Jesus. He's always ready to listen, saints. Whatever's on your heart. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear. If I but ask.
tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows to share.
Sing the last verse.
Oh, how the world do evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world and victory to win. Oh, glory. I must tell Jesus. Oh, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. Tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Amen. Are you thankful we have one we can go to? Amen. Praise His holy name. Page 257. Amen. There's a river.
There was a thirsty woman who was drawn
Been to that river, drank from that fountain. Oh, saints, it's there for every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Amos, would you like to come for the offering? Praise his name. That's the blessing, if you will.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we want to never forget, Lord, the price you paid for all you've done for us, that grace and that mercy. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity you've granted. said and done, be for your glory now. Lord, once more we ask that you bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in thy precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Do you appreciate what he's done for you? Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I
have a request for him this morning. Amen. I have a special, very special unspoken request. I ask you all remember it with me. Amen. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Lord, we're just so glad to be here again this morning, Lord, and we appreciate, Lord, everything that you've done for us, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for where you've brought us from, Lord. We can look at our lives, Lord, and see where you've brought us from and what you've done for us, Lord. We think of all the sin and the corruption and everything within our lives, Lord. And you, through your mercy and your love and your grace, have forgiven us, Lord. And
yes,
we appreciate that, Lord. We appreciate that, my God, everything that you do for us in this life, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, that we might, my God, love you and appreciate you more and more, Lord, each and every day.
Oh, hallelujah.
We pray this morning for the needs of the people here this morning, Lord. Every hand was raised. You know the desire was on that heart as they raised their hand. And we pray, Father, that you'd grant it this morning, Lord. Remember the unspoken request this morning, Brother, ask, Lord. And pray, Father, for our pastor, those that are with you, Lord, on their vacation, Lord. You just keep your hand upon them, Lord, and may they find rest for their body and their mind, Lord. And we pray, Father, this morning, Lord, for our precious brother to bring forth a word, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you just let the anointing of thy Holy Spirit come down and just take control of his mind and his lips, Lord, and his very being, Lord, that my God, you have full, complete control. And you speak forth your word this morning, Lord. And my God, may it bring life, Lord, to those that have need, Lord, of that life, Lord, that flowing, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. I pray, Father, now that ask all these things now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you have a song this morning, Carrie? Amen. Would anyone else have a song? Something burning on your heart? Amen. Praise his holy name. Oh, he's so wonderful, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing the little chorus song on 309 then. Amen. I come to the garden. Amen. Spend time with him, saints. Hallelujah.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear
Let's all stand together. Let's sing the little chorus. Only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Oh.
Precious Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity that you've given us this morning, and
Lord, we've truly come with hungry hearts, Lord, and asking you to speak to us. And Lord, we didn't come here to hear any man or to see anyone else or to have somebody else hear me sing. But Lord, we've gathered here this morning to hear your precious word. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon it. Lord, just move me out of the way. Just let me be a mouthpiece, Lord, to speak these things which you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, we just pray that you will just move on our hearts, Lord, in some way, Lord, may it do a work that would maybe help us grow, Lord, a little closer to you or climb a little higher, Lord, whatever it may be that you see needed in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. That's why we've come, to let your word work in our hearts and in our lives. For by the hearing of thy precious word, we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. Bless us now as we commit ourselves unto thee for service. And we ask it in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Could we sing that little chorus, I Love Him, just before we start our service? Amen. I love him. Thankful to be here this morning. Thank the Lord for his precious mercy and grace. Amen. While you're still standing, I'm going to turn to the book of John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to do a lot of reading this morning, and just we get through it fine. If not, we'll pick it up some other time. Amen. But just Lord laid these things upon my heart. Nothing we haven't heard, but just you never know. You know, sometimes God, he knows the seasons and he knows what we're facing, and he knows what he's going to bring to us within the near future. So God may lay something on my heart to bring to just kind of freshen us up as an evangelist, maybe to get our minds thinking, and then somewhere down the road he may begin a teaching on it again or something. But it'll just prepare our hearts somehow for God. God knows, and he's a great I am, and he sees the beginning from the end, and he knows all things. And you know, when you can begin to put your trust and your faith in him, how great it is. But let's begin here in John, the 14th chapter. I'm beginning there at the 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. And that 26th verse, but the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. I just was just thinking of a lot of the warriors of old and how that God spoke to them and they followed the word and they became, you know, God in each one. He saw each one in their time and place. And you might think of Noah. He was the word manifested for his day. God said he was going to destroy the world with water, and he told Noah, he gave him his word. And Noah went to work and built that ark, and he became the manifested word for that day. And you can come right on up to Moses. When God called Moses, he predestinated him to be that deliverer before he was ever born. He was born a peculiar birth. God had to put him in a basket and float him down the river for to save him, and had him raised up. And look at the life and how God protected that little gene of his that he had to work for. And he led his life right up till he was exiled from Egypt and out into the wilderness till he met the burning bush.
And you know, we think of all these things, and even Jeremiah, before he was ever born, God said, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you and called you to be a prophet. And you know, today, each one of us are here because we've heard a call. And a call went out for a bride in this day. Jesus, he said he would have a little bride that would be in his image, and that he would catch her up and take her home. And that's why we're here, saints. We see the ending of time winding down, and we see all things coming to pass. But I just want to go back and read some of these things Brother Branham said, and just kind of go through here and just let the Holy Spirit talk to your heart a little bit. Maybe for whatever you have need of, but let's just see what he's got for us. But I'm going to begin here in the Church Age book on page 152. And like I say, this is all very familiar. We've heard all of this many times, but this is on page 152 and starting about the middle of the page. Now then, here we come, coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God was manifest in the Son. And Jesus, and in Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That eternal one was the Father, manifest in flesh, and thereby he gained the title of Son. So we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed. And just think of that, saints, that pillar of fire. Jesus had many masks. Our Lord was great. Hid himself in a pillar of fire and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hid himself in a form and spoke to Abraham in the form of Melchizedek. Come right up through time and brought himself down and was humbled himself down and came into a body called Jesus Christ that became flesh. And God hung on a cross and was crucified. And oh my, look at the importance of when he was hanging there. God, you can follow him from Genesis all the way up and see him as he hung on that cross. But as he goes on here, he says, and we're made manifest, flesh, the sons of God, as we are thoughts. Now manifest in the flesh are the sons of God, even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. And to be seed, you had to be in the thoughts of God before there was a moon or a star. And we know how the prophet showed that a thought is but a word expressed. And how we were in the thoughts of God, and in each due season, each one of us was placed here and became that thought. We became that expressed thought, became word, and here we stand today. How hold this carefully in mind now. Take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. And God, by his death, shed blood, brought back his own, and he brought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, the word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind. And there is no change in species, as it were in the thoughts of God, then expressed in the flesh. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice become aware of our Father calling us. And recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice and we cried out as did the prodigal son, save me, O my Father, I'm returning to thee. But a son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he's a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under a hen. And you know that eagle is a type of the true believer. Well, a farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest and he placed it under a hen, and in due time all the eggs under the hen hatched out. And the baby chicks got along fine with the mother hen. But the little eagle could not figure out with the clucking and scratching for food in a manure pile. And he managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all. But one day, from way up in the air, the mother eagle that had laid that egg spied that little eagle on the ground, and she swooped down with a tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. He had never heard an eagle cry, but when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred. And he longed to launch out towards it, but he was afraid to try. And again the mother screamed for him to arise to the wind and follow her, and he screamed back that he was afraid. And once more she called out, screaming that he try. And beating his wings, he hurled himself into the air, answering the cry of his mother, and he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle, and he acted like a chicken for a little while, but he could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of that great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to that great prophet eagle and be with Him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I want you to stop and think about your own life, saints. As he said, begin there, and he's talking about that little eagle. He just couldn't be satisfied where he was. And how each one of us, maybe, you know, we can look at our lives and we begin to each one take store. Maybe I've always had always been raised in church. Maybe I was raised in a denominational church. Maybe I was raised in a message church. It doesn't much matter. Or maybe I'd never been to church and I was just out in the world. But down on the inside of you, there is something that just, it's an unsettledness. There's an uneasiness. There's nothing can satisfy it. And if a lot of people in the world, they turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to all kinds of things to try to satisfy something that's burning and longing down on the inside of them. And they don't know. They don't know what it is. That little eagle, when he was in that barnyard pecking through that manure pile, he knew he didn't belong there. He knew he didn't like it, and he didn't know. But there was just something working on him, but he didn't know why. And here in the Message Communion, page 6, this was preached in December the 12th, 1965. Brother Branham, I want you to listen to this. Brother Branham explained it like this. Page 6, paragraph 45, it says, I was saying this, taking for myself, like you was going to say, William Branham? Well, 40 years ago, the William Branham isn't the same one tonight. If somebody back there would say William Branham, he was a rank rascal, see, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner, and I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there, too, was another nature present, see, predestinated, was in there by God, in this same body, see, two natures in there. Well, I only catered to one, and oh my, because you were seed, you could be reborn. Because you were in the thoughts of God is the only reason there was something down in there. And keep that in mind, that we've had a lot of teaching on that, and I'm not teaching, I'm just preaching to you, but I want you to listen. And he says, but I only catered to one, and as it growed, I grew as a baby dada. First thing you know, I became a liar. I became everything else that's a sinner. I didn't have to try to become that. I was that. That was my nature. That's what I was. That's who I was. And that's just the automatic life that was laying down in there that began to produce. You don't have to make a dog be a dog. You don't have to make a cat be a cat. They are what they are. They was born. God created them for that, and that's what they'll always be. They can't help themselves. In the same way it is with a believer and a sinner. A sinner can't help themselves. If there was never a seed of God placed in somebody's life, they can never help but be just a human being that was placed here for some other purpose. But somebody, with God seen in his mind, he placed another little portion of himself, a very part of himself, down in their heart and life and placed them on this earth. And he knew the time and the place they would be here. And oh my, you know, oftentimes it just looks like it could never be. And how you ought to look back, we can look at each of our lives and just see. And you just take Moses. Here he was, his mother and father knew he was born for a purpose. But he didn't know he was born for that purpose. He knew he'd been told he was. But you know, he was raised in Egypt and had all the power of Egypt. And then he was exiled and he went out into the desert. But when he met that pillar of fire, that burning bush, he was a changed man. And when God gave him a staff and said, go take Egypt out of Israel, he didn't quit. He said, Lord, here am I. How will I speak? And God began to tell him all he would do. Put your hand in your bosom. Take up that staff. And he went to Egypt, a one-man invasion, Brother Branham said, because God was leading him to go, and he was the Word made manifest for that day. He was the deliverer now. He had always been the deliverer, but now it was being manifest that he was the one for that age that was to be at that time. And he says, I only catered to one as I grew. Okay, but down in there was a little speck of life all the time. And I used to remember as a little boy, I hope I'm not holding you too long, sitting out on the creek bank, I'd sit there and look around at nighttime, Pop and Mom, and they'd gone on now to their rest. In them days, they were sinners. There was no Christianity in our homes at all. And oh, my drinking and parties and carrying on, it made me sick. And I'd take my lantern and my dog and go into the woods to stay all night. And in the wintertime, I'd hunt till the party was over. Maybe daylight in the morning, come home, wouldn't be over. I'd lay on top of the shed and sleep, waiting for daylight to break. And then I'd think how that at times then, being out there in that summertime, and get my sticks and put them down for a little windbreak where it had rained and laid there and have poles sticking in the water, fishing my old coon dog laying there. I'd say, looky here. You know, last winter I camped right here one night and I built a fire here. And it was froze 5 inches deep in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? See, well, where did you come from? Who come out here and planted you? What hothouse did they bring you out of? Or what about it? Where'd you come from? See that fire on top of here? Why, it was frozen, everything. And I built a fire on top of here. Besides the freezing element, there was a heat element laying here on a big old log where I'd burned you. And yet here you are. You're alive. Where did you come from? What was it? There was another William Branham. See, a little spot of eternal life down in there from the genes of God and the Word of God that was placed in there. Each one of you can think of similar things, see, and see it working. And I want you just to think of your life as you begin to look back and you can see. Maybe you didn't care for the things of God. Maybe you didn't care to go to church. Maybe you went to church, but you didn't really care about what was being preached, but you heard a lot of things. You sat there and you heard the word preached, and you knew this, and maybe intellectually you was attaining it, and there was something in you saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. But maybe your life never did swing around to manifest it and to live it like it should have. But oh my, in its right place, in its right time, God knew when to bring it to life. As he says here in Works Faith Expressed, I read this not too long ago, but I want to read it again. He said, here is the predestinated plan in view. Just as the other seed, the word of God, is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. If you sowed a seed and just throw it out here on the ground, it would do no good. And the birds would pick it up and you throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. And so God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. And he knew you, therefore he prepared you. And you know, I want you to look at the greatness of God. Take the Apostle Paul. His whole life was dedicated to the church at that time, to the Jews, the religion that he was raised up in. And oh my, he was a stout believer in it. He didn't want nothing to do with that thing called Christianity. And he was against it, and he was bound determined he was going to stamp it out of the face of Rome and off the face of the earth. But oh my, but God had placed another seed down on the inside of him. And oh, he didn't know it at the time. He was doing all he knew how to follow the word that he had been taught, raised up under the scrolls and all that the scriptures had spoken. He was doing his best. But oh, one day when it was time, God shined a light down on him and spoke to him. And that little gene of life that was in there sprung to life immediately and caught a hold of that precious word. And you watch Paul, he went right down there and began to study. And you look at how God began to change his life. It was a dramatic change, and it began to turn to the word 100%, and it came out to God's glory. Oftentimes we think we're just living for ourselves. We're not just here living for ourselves, but God's got a plan for your life. Either you were sent here just to be somebody that's filling space, or if you, by God's grace, you can see that there was something else done on the inside of you and you can feel it calling. You've been called to higher heights in Christ Jesus, and it's got to awaken and it's got to come alive. And maybe you sit in church all the time, and maybe you've heard the word and you hear the word, and maybe something's still lacking, but it's still there. If the call is still in your heart, there's still a higher height in Christ that God is going to take you to if it's burning in your heart to get there. But oh my, he says here, and that's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to the place he had ordained for you to be. And if this ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. And that's the reason the seed of faith, when you're preaching faith, seed discernment to the Lord, and all the gifts of the Bible working, oh, hallelujah, I believe it, and come up and find themselves disappointed, see? The ground has to be foreordained, and you will know when it strikes you. And oh, my saints, God, when you look at the lives of Moses and Paul, even Jonah and Job and all the different ones, look how God led them and the things that happened in their life and the many obstacles and struggles it seemed they had. And oh my, but God had his hand on their life and he knew at what point they was going to be what he predestinated them to be. There was a time and season for each one to take their place. And he knew what it would take to form that character, to mold that person, to fulfill the job that he had placed them for in their day. But they became, each one in their time, they was the manifested word. They were vindicated that the word that had been spoken for their day was true, and it was proved out through their lives. Because God revealed it so. Amen. Here in the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ, this was preached. Amen. This was also preached November 25th, 1965, page 32. We're going to begin about paragraph 240. The anointed word of God being vindicated before any man that's born to be a son of God with a predestinated germ into him for this hour, he'll see God's message as sure as there's a God in heaven. Martin Luther saw it for his. Wesley saw it for his. And the Pentecostal saw it for his. Now what about you? See, they went into denomination. And here is the word condemning it, telling you what we're to have today. Just exactly Malachi 4 and all these promises for the hour. What do you see? What are you looking at? Amen. The real genuine eagles hear my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Why? It was put in there by predestination. You were foreordained to a son of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. And you're only manifested in this day for his honor and glory. That's the only reason we're here, saints. No other reason but to be manifested for his glory and his honor. And how can you do it without honoring his word? Stand with every word of God. Yes, sir. Which you are a part of that word by predestination. Because look, the God is the word. You believe that? Well, then he always was the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was made flesh. Then you were in God, the word. And that part that you're to play was in God before the foundation of the world. He's seen you. And he predestinated you. And he predestinated you to it. And saints, each one of us, before this world was ever formed, he's seen us in his mind, and he placed that little germ down on the inside. We may have come through all kinds of things, but he knew the moment when he would send down the Holy Spirit and kill out that old nature that was laying in there and bring that new one to life. And he knew at the moment it would take place how our lives would turn to him, and we would become the manifested word of this hour. Our lives has got to prove that what he said that bride would be in this last day, we've got to be that, or we're not matching up. We're not that predestinated seed. But we've got to see it take hold in our lives and manifest the word that was left for this day for that little bride. But oh my, you know, hallelujah. Let's go on here. This is in the message, the Easter seal. Amen. Amen. Message, Easter seal. This is also preached in 65. April 10th, 1965, page 14, paragraph 84. And the same thing is with every true believer. When the preaching of God's word comes forth, it is vindicated and proved that it's God's word for this hour. And there's something within the believer. I don't care how loyal his father was to church, or how loyal his mother was, or his grandparents. If the church is teaching contrary to this hour of the baptism of the Holy Ghost message, there's something in him that screams out, and he'll leave the barnyard. He's got to. The chicken might have been all right one day, but this is eagle hour. See, it's different. There is something that he must leave that old coop and fly into the blue. Then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. Now, when the Holy Spirit, represented as the eagle flying over the land, finds the believer, no man can come to me as he wants to. But all the Father has given me will come to me. But no man can come to me by himself. It isn't your own thinking, your own drawing. It's God's drawing, see? All the Father has given me will come to me. Now the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super Son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes its place of abode in a human life. Now notice, it brought the quickening power, and the quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. And so does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. If it's not a mockery Holy Spirit, you're not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit, but it's the real true Holy Spirit, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Luther, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Wesley, it manifested the promise of that hour. And when it falls in this day, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. And when it fell upon Moses, it manifested the promise of that hour. Fell upon Noah, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Jesus, it manifested the promise of that hour. See, it's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken and to make alive those people that's foreordained of God to be in the rapture. Notice, that is, if he's a true eagle, he will understand the message of the hour. If he's a true eagle, now that little eagle probably in the barnyard was eating all right. But he knowed it just wasn't exactly right. And then when he heard the truth, then he received this truth. And saints, on the day of Pentecost, when God, he said, I must go away, but I'll send you the Comforter. And when he come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, he separated himself and poured up all he poured into all that was in God, he said he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into the church, which is you and I, that body that makes up that bride. Each one of us was given of his Spirit, and he already had a little receiver down on the inside, and then he began to bring the word in this day, and something with this Holy Spirit overshadowing it. And that gene on the inside, it began to quicken and come to life. And it don't matter what situation you was in, God, if you was in the thoughts of God, I don't care how steeped in sin your life was, and I don't care how far you think you was from God, if that predestinated seed was in there, there's nothing that can keep your body from swinging subject to that word when you hear it. It has to come to life because it was predestinated. You can't help yourself. You may say, I'm getting away from this message. I'm going to get away from this. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But oh, if you're predestinated of God, you might try to run. But God knows exactly where you're at, and he'll push and push on you and bring you right back till he manifests himself through you to his glory and honor. He knows each one. He saw you before there was a moon or a star. There's not a hair on your head he didn't know about. But oh my, he knew when you would be here and what position you would fulfill. And he's here to prove his word that in this last day he would have a bride that would take and leave this world in a rapture. And it is a revelation that is revealed to her as she sees that body begin to change. And understand as that word is coming in, there's something taking place inside of her. The inward man is becoming outward. It's not this flesh body, but this flesh body is just coming subject to the real you that's laying down on the inside. But here in the... Amen. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. Let's go here to here in the message, the world is falling apart. This was preached in 63, November 15th, 1963, page 4, and down here about paragraph 22. You know, he's speaking of Jesus. Now he says, he was the divine Son of God. And if a woman touched his garment and it made him feel weak. Okay, let me drop down to the bottom of paragraph 22. He done it. So all God was in one man there, but that big pillar of fire that led Israel became flesh and dwelt among us. But when he was crucified and rose again and ascended to God on the day of Pentecost, he came back in the form of this pillar of fire and separated himself, tongues of fire set upon each of them, God dividing himself amongst his church, because that was his wife. And a husband and wife is one together, and God and the church is one together. God in you, that was God above us, God with us, God in us. Same God all the time, just three manifestations, attributes, or offices, whatever you want to call it, like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the same God all the time. And now that was God above us. He could not be touched. Even the mountain that would be touched where he was on, they must thrust through with a dart, and cause sin had not had an offering yet. But then God came and was manifested among us, and we handled him with our hands. He said, God, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory. See, that was God with us, God over us, God with us, now God in us. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church. And at that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, you in me. So then it's been God all along, you see, his same works. The church is ordained to carry on his work with the same Spirit. You couldn't carry on the same work without the same Spirit. That's right. It's the same Spirit that carries on the work. As he said in Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. And saints, it's the same. There's no difference. The same Holy Ghost that's here with you tonight is the same Holy Ghost that hung on the cross at Calvary. It's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's the same pillar of fire that was in the burning bush that spoke to Moses. It's the same pillar of fire that Paul seen on the road to Damascus. That same pillar of fire now is housed within your mortal temple here on this earth. bringing about what? His work, to carry on that work, that it would reveal His word to a bride and bring her to the full manifestation of His word, that she would be the revealed word for this day, and it would be a written epistle read of all men, living in her life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. This is in the message token. I'll go ahead and read this before we go to the next one. He said, this is in the message token preached September 1st, 63. And we'll go down here to paragraph 430. But believers take the token. What Jesus began to do in Galilee, He continues to do through His display of the token of the Holy Spirit back upon the church. For it was not the acts of the apostles. It was the acts of the Holy Ghost in those apostles, and that was a token. They said they had taken heed to Peter and James, and they said Peter and John, as they passed through the gate called Beautiful, seeing they were ignorant, and they might have said hit, haint, tote, tear, fetch, carry, I'll tell you about this, see. They might have had all kinds of grammar that they couldn't understand, and they might not have known the difference of all the mathematics of the Scriptures, but they had to notice they had been with Jesus, that they had displayed the token, because the same Spirit that was upon Him before His crucifixion was upon them after the resurrection. And that makes Him, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is how we know He lives, because why? How do we know we live? Because He lives. Because we know we live is because we're like Him and we are in Him. Because I live, you'll live also. I am He in Revelations that was dead and alive forevermore. And if we die to ourselves and become alive in Him, we're alive forevermore. And then His life is in us, just like the life of anything else. It displays what He was. And I want you to think about Peter and all of them. How before the when they went into that upper room, they were scared. Peter denied the Lord. They knew the words that had been spoken. They understood. They had heard Jesus say a lot of things. But they didn't have an understanding of it. But they had heard Him speak. But oh, on that day in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came down upon them, oh, the Comforter come. Oh, my. And he began to teach them and to show them all things. And when Peter come down out of that upper room, there was a changed man. And he come out there speaking, this is the Jesus Christ whom you crucified. Oh, my, look at the difference that was in his life. He began to understand. And with an understanding, he could boldly speak of the things that God had revealed to him. And it been returned in his life. And his life became subject to the word. And then you could see after that. That's why they could see the same Spirit that was on Christ. Love, kindness, whatever God expressed through his life when he was here, they seen the exact same life in Peter and John. And oh my, it ought to be the same today. The same Spirit in us will create the same works those apostles had in the book of Acts. The same Spirit will bring about the same change in our bodies. And it will change us mortal to immortal. That one day when He calls, we'll just drop a robe of flesh. We're not going to change what's inside. With that living being that God created, that soul that's in there, it's transforming this flesh body. And one day this flesh body is going to roll off. And we're going to take on a glorified body. But me is not going to change. And nothing but my coat, as the saying is. I'm just going to drop this coat and pick up a new one. But what's on the inside is eternal. Always was and always will be. And my, with that in place, God is going to prove that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our hearts and in our lives. And that's why it's so important that we must see that confirmation of the Word taking place in our life. And if I see that I there's something that I don't understand and I'm kind of pushing, then there should be a cry in my heart, Lord, reveal to me that I would understand what You're trying to say to me. Reveal it, Lord, that it would bring about in my life the change that's needed. The sweetness of the Holy Spirit should be there. Love, peace, joy, all these things should be burning in our hearts. Never ending. Amen. Let's see here. This is in the message. Why Christ speak? Let me see. Amen. This is in the message, the Easter seal, paragraph 45. I was wondering today if it's what's happening. Are we really getting the people to God, or are we just getting them to church? We must get them to Christ where there is the quickening power. It's good to go to church, sure. If that's as far as we go, it's not far enough. When you come to church, that's good, but go on to Christ from the church, because we must receive this quickening power if we've ever expect to be in that general resurrection because it's the only thing that will ever bring us from the dead. If this spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll also quicken and make and bring your life, your mortal bodies. What a promise to us. Now notice the very essence of this resurrection is to tell and to show and to prove that Jesus has raised up from the dead. He's not dead, he's living, and he lives here, and he's in us. I'll be with you, even in you. A little while the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you, until the end of the world. And now as Christians, we all claim he is alive, or we've been quickened from life, from death to life, by his spirit. And if we haven't been quickened, then we're not made alive. And now we're going to break into this subject, Lord willing, kind of teach for a few minutes how that we are quickened and can be sure that this is the truth. And saints, how true it is. You might come to church for a long time. You might have been in church all your life, and you say, well, I know the word said that, and I know the word, but I have never been able to see that in my life. That's never happened to me. It's never going to be. But there is a living word. God will manifest his word and reveal it to you. But you've got to be hungry and willing to see that by his word all things were made and all things consist. And without him, we're nothing. We can do nothing in ourselves. If there be any good in us, it's not of us, but it's of Christ. And we must look and see that Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives. But oh my, someone's been quickened to that. And this is in the message, Why Christ Speak. Amen. Preached in July 14th, 63. Paragraph, I'm going to start on the bottom of page 19. Actually, let me go here on page 20, paragraph 117. That's a rebuke to women. I know that's listening in on this tape or will listen into it. It's a rebuke to you, sister. It should be. Because it shows, I don't care what you've done. You might have been religious all your life, and you might have lived in the church, and your father may be a minister, your husband might be a minister. But as long as you disobey the word of God, it shows there's no life in there. When you see the thing brought out in the life of the Holy Spirit, watch it when it strikes others. See what they do, and it brings it on them, no wonder. And oh my saints, it's happening. Even in the group of the realm of the message churches, there's some that's being quickened, and there's some that's not. The same word's falling, and it falls. But if there's nothing there to bring it to pass, you'll not see any change in that life. It's okay for me to dress like this. It's okay for me to live like this. But you watch it when it falls on a predestinated seed. You watch it come back to the word, and you watch the change that comes in that life. What a rebuke to those Pharisees that called Jesus when he could perceive their thoughts. He called them Beelzebub. And that little prostitute said, why this fella is the Messiah. The scripture says he'll do this. See, that predestinated seed was laying there. And when the light struck it, it come to life. You can't keep it down. You can't hide life. You can take and pour concrete upon a bunch of grass and kill it in the wintertime. And the next spring, where is most of your grass at? Right around the edge of the concrete, because that germatized seed under that stone, when the sun begins to shine, you can't hold it. It'll wiggle its way around through there and come right out at the edge of that and stick its head up to the glory of God. See, you can't hide life. When sun strikes botany life, it's got to live. And when the Holy Spirit strikes that scriptural life that's in a man, it'll bring forth fruit right there. Brother Branham snaps his finger. And oh my, how you ought to be able, so thankful, if you can look at your life and you can see that. Maybe you wandered around in this. Maybe you fell over into that. But one day something struck your heart and oh my, it lines you right up. You might have thought like this. You might have thought like that. But it put you right in tune with God's word. And it anchored down on the inside. And there's nobody can change your mind that what God has revealed to you is absolutely the truth. You know, when Moses went down to Egypt, there wasn't nobody could convince him. When he walked up with that staff, it wouldn't have mattered if... Just think for a moment of how great Pharaoh's army was. And it just seems like during the Bible times, the meaning of life was so little. They didn't have any true regard for life. It was kill and just destroy this nation and wipe that nation out and take this under control. And here Moses, knowing the wrath and that Pharaoh could have and all the spears and the knives and the armies of Pharaoh, and walk in there with a stick. He didn't fear man. He knew God had sent him there for a purpose. And he knew there wasn't one sword, one spear could touch a piece of his hide unless God would have permitted it. He knew, and he walked in there with that boldness in his heart. And that's the way it is when God reveals the word to you. It don't matter how many people get around you and try to tell you what you believe is wrong. It won't matter, because it's anchored down on the inside, because God has revealed it to you. And there was a predestinated seed down on the inside that grabbed a hold of that thing. And there's nobody can take it from you. Oh my, as David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be with a true Christian today. They get a hold of the word and they hold it in their hearts. And it doesn't matter who's against them. It don't matter who disagrees. But it's exactly, it must be, thus saith the Lord, the word in this day. Amen. And oh my, that anchors in that little heart's, the little bride's heart. And you watch her take a hold of that word. There might be 2,500 women saying, you can wear this kind of a dress. And that one little sister may feel in her heart, God said, that's not right. And let that little sister stand up and wear her clothes according to what God's revealed to her. And watch her be a testimony and living proof that God said that bride would be modest, clothed in his righteousness, holy. Not with their holiness, but with his holiness. And you watch God bring that word to pass. He's got someone here to manifest that. Each word that he spoke in that Bible, if he said a wife would be under subjection, there'll be a wife that'll be under subjection. A man that'll rule his home, that man will rule his home. Every word that's in that book, you take it word for word. What God spoke, that's the promises that would be in this hour. Say what you will, ask what you will in my name, and see if I won't do it. Amen. But you've got to know and stand there with that life of Christ. Not have 1 foot half in the church and 1 foot half in the world. You've got to be all in or all out. But oh my, if you can get all in, God is going to take a little bride off of this earth. Amen. But oh my, we must be in the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Amen. This is in the very familiar scripture, but I want to read our quote. I want to read a little more of it here. But he says, this is, who is this Melchizedek? Preached February 21st, 65, in paragraph 74. Amen. He says, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are, see. It throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. If I could just get in Christ and it's all gone, see, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead and they're dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you are a new creation in Christ. Just as much as you can't help being a liar when you're born. Just as much as you can't help being worldly when you was born with that worldly nature. When God sends down that fire and kills that old nature and that new nature becomes alive in there, you can't help yourself but to turn to that precious word. It would be contrary to all the scriptures if you could. But oh my, it's not. It will turn and face up to that word. But you just get in Christ, it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you're a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit and try to live a right kind of life like you women claiming you got the Holy Ghost, going out here wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? How could the Spirit of God ever let you do such a thing? It just can't be so. Certainly it can. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but the seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said don't do this, that body will quickly turn to it. There's no question. What is it? It is the earnest of the resurrection that this body will be raised again, because it's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption. But now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. And that's the earnest. You're going to go in that rapture. It's the earnest. A sick person laying, dying. Nothing left but death. That's all that can happen. I've seen shadows of people done eat up with cancer and tuberculosis and see them persons a little while after that perfectly normal and strong. If there is no divine healing, then there is no resurrection, because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. And you know what the earnest money is, don't you? It's the down payment. He was wounded for our transgressions and with his stripes we're healed. Notice how wonderful we love him. This body is subject to the Spirit and have not yet entered into word form. We're still in flesh form, but subject to the word. And death in this flesh will only take us there. And oh, my saints, how we ought to be so thankful if we can see that word conforming my life and making me what I ought to be. That's the earnest that I am going to raise off of this earth. And it should become so bold in our hearts that I know I am one that overcometh. And he said, and the overcomer will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That ought to be a burning reality in our hearts, a studying this word. We may live here every day as human beings. We've got families, we've got children, wives, husbands. But that's not our goal in life. We were sent here to be a bride of Jesus Christ above all things. And that's what ought to be our focus in this life. Looking for, waiting for the coming of the Lord. But in the meantime, watching him take our lives in his hands and change us and mold us to what he should be, what is to be. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. If you would, please. Amen. But oh, my saints, I just want you to stop and think of how powerful it is when God reveals something to you. When God revealed to Moses that he was going to go down and do that, there wasn't no problem. Moses took off and went and done his job. Jonah, Job, all the ones, David, when he stood there in front of Goliath, it didn't matter. Once God had anchored in his heart and he's seen that Philistine abusing that army, and he knew, uncircumcised, he didn't waver. He said, as God delivered that bear into my hands and that lion into my hands, he's going to deliver that giant into my hands. God, he'd give something down in there, it anchored in his heart. It was a reality that his God was alive and real. And oh my, when the word comes forth and it begins to ignite and strike something in your heart, how great it is. And the boldness. And I want to read this here. This is in the fourth seal. And amen. This was preached March 21st, 1963. He said, the power of revelation brings stimulation to the believer. For the power of wine, natural wine, is a stimulant. See, it brings that person that's all slumped down to stimulation. Well, then now there's a power of revelation of the word. It gives stimulation of joy to the believer. Stimulation of satisfaction. And that stimulation, that it's vindicated, it's proved, it's called in the scriptures, we want to refer to it as the new wine. And we always refer to it like that. These are drunk on new wine or spiritual wine. And I think the best interpretation would be on spiritual wine. As the natural wine reveals itself in a stimulated power, so does the new wine as it reveals the Word of God, which is Spirit. The Word itself is Spirit. Do you believe that? Let's just read it. John 6, then you don't say, well, somebody said, let's see who said it. Then we'll know whether it's truth or not. St. John, the 6th chapter. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. The Word itself is Spirit. It's Spirit in word form. And then you see when it's quickened or brought to life, the Spirit of the Word goes to work and acts. Because now look, that's a thought, has to be a thought before it can be a word. And when that thought is presented, it is word. And now this is God's thought that he had placed in the word, that when we receive it from him, it becomes word. God revealed to Moses what to do, and Moses spoke it, and it happened, see? That's it. When it really comes from God and we find that out, that it stimulates, it gives joy because it is God's word, and the new wine stimulates when it reveals the word. Then it brings joy without measure. And that brings such joy till you get overflooded. And oh my saints, how it ought to stimulate our hearts when we can see that precious word come and see that God's revealing it to me. And it's bringing a change in my life. But if it's not stimulating me, it probably means I'm not getting it revealed to me. And it's just coming, and I'm hearing it, and intellectually I'm saying it's all right, but if it's not creating an overflooding, whelming joy in your heart to hear those things, it's probably not been revealed to you. You can hear you was in the thoughts of God. You can hear all these things that I've read today, but it's got to be revealed to us by revelation of God, that anchor it in our hearts. That just as Moses was called to go to Egypt, I was called to be a bride in this day. I was called to every word that he's spoken for it to be lived and manifested in my life. Oh, my saints, may we begin to study on it more. Think about it. What's left that is not being manifested or vindicated in my life of these promises that was left laying here? And if I see that I've already, why isn't it? If I see that, oh my, God called me and I see my life begin to change, and then I look and I'm not seeing much change. I'm just kind of, why? What's wrong? Something's holding me. And may we seek and search and cry out to God, Lord, take me to those higher heights, till every objective, it's nothing but his will to be presented in our lives. Oh my saints, there's a lot of things I've read there today, a lot of messages that brother, our pastor could teach on for months. But oh my, take it into your heart and dwell upon it. That I was Moses was vindicated, he was the word for that day. Noah was vindicated, he was the word for his day. Each one in their time, their lives proved out that that was they were manifesting their hour. Am I proving that I am manifesting the hour for which I was called? Is my life lining up 100% with that word? Is it exact? Or do I just continue to come to church, go home, pay tithes and offerings, but I'm not becoming that literal bride, word bride of Jesus Christ, a spoken word in this day that will be revealed and manifested exactly the way God said she would be? But oh my, I pray that's our heart's desires, to see every word made real. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Hey, man, I apologize for being lengthy this morning, but there's a purpose in all things, as I said, and I don't know why, but they put them together. And oh my, you know, just let it dwell in your hearts. God's got a purpose for everything. And my, we, whatever it is, wherever he wants to use us, may we be ready and willing. Yield it to his leadership. Ready to be his prisoner. You know, go if he calls for somebody to go pray for somebody, if he lays it on your heart to deliver something to somebody that maybe they need it, can we be in the right channel to allow God to do that? Or is my mind too busy with so many other things that God can't even speak to my heart and he can't lead me to do things because I'm thinking about this, I'm wrapped up over here? But oh my, may we yield ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's what those apostles had. They were living for what God had revealed to them. He said to take this gospel and to preach it in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and that's what they were doing. That's the only thing they concerned themselves with, was to make sure that that message was presented and pushed out there. They fulfilled their portion. May we fulfill ours. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody got a course on your heart? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so thankful that Jesus set me free. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. My saints, when you can look and see where you was and where you was bound, and maybe how you didn't have no joy in your life. You didn't know what it was to know what Christ had done for you. But then when you can begin to see him cut off those fetters that had you bound, and maybe things that had you bound by, maybe you long for tobacco products and you've seen God take it out of your life. Maybe you long to drink and you've seen God pull it out of your life and it's gone. Oh my, when you can see that he set you free and set you on the path of righteousness for his glory and his honor, it ought to cause such a love in our hearts and a praise back to him. And there ought to be a shout in our heart of what he's doing and where he's taking us. Saints, every day as those children got closer to that promised land, there was a shout in their heart. They weren't despondent. They weren't discouraged. The unbelievers were. But those that believed that God had given that promise, it didn't matter. Men and brethren were more than able to take that land. Who's with us? My, it ought to burn in our hearts. Lord, take me higher. Here's my hand. Hey, man, let's sing that little chorus. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Amen. You know, when God placed that little predestinated seed in there, and you know, Satan many times, he tried to pour concrete over it. Maybe he led you over here and got you all mixed up in something that just looked like your life couldn't be turned around. Maybe he led you, tried to get you off into false doctrine and tried to pour concrete over you and block you in. Tell you there's no blood for you today. All these different things. But oh, but Jesus Christ, with the power of his word, he came with revelation in his heart and he said, oh son, there's blood for you. He revealed it to you. When you can see that that blood that was shed was for you, and you see it cover your sins and know that your sins have been forgiven and they're gone. It don't matter, Satan, he tried. But oh, my God is greater than anything that's out this world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. It ought to burn in our hearts, saints. We've been sent here for a purpose. Oh, my, we've been sent here to glorify God and to let him take our lives in his hands and fulfill every word that he's placed in there. That vindicated word, not just a word that's written on a page, but it's got to be vindicated and manifested in our lives. That what he said it would do. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Sing it again. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Leffler, would you like to come up and dismiss us? Amen.
Can you all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have another time, Father, to come and listen to your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, this is your will. Where Brother Brown said, he said, it's his will for you to come if you're a child of God. And when somebody is preaching, if you can't say amen to it, he said, I doubt whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. Lord, I just read that in one of his books, Father. Lord, I believe, Father, with all of my heart, if we can't say amen to the word, then, Lord, there's got to be something wrong.
Yes.
For, Lord, it's you. It's not us. It's you. And Lord, when that word comes forth, Lord, Heavenly Father, as it did this morning, and Lord, we have taken, if we can't believe it, then Lord, we got doubt in our hearts. And Father, I pray, Lord, for each one that's come here today, that Lord, that this message, this word, Lord, Heavenly Father, has filled each heart. I pray, Father, as we go, you'll keep your hand upon us, and Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll be with our pastor,
yes, Lord.
Brother Paul, and Sister Heather. And Lord, we pray that you'll bring them back, Father. And Lord, Heavenly Father, keep your hand upon each one of us we leave here. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad? Amen. Well, before we're dismissed, I'm just going to, I don't care the least bit to preach this evening, but I see we have some that's missing. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to take a vote. And the majority wins. If they want to have service, we'll have service. If not, we'll cancel it for this evening. But if you all just bow your heads, anybody that wants to have service tonight, raise your hand if you would. All right, if you would, those that don't want to have service, raise your hand if you would. All right, I believe we'll have service tonight. Amen. Must be the Lord's will. Amen. Those four were... Absolutely. That's the way we want to do it. Amen. You know, I feel You know, it makes the pastor, if a pastor tries to take a break and we shut the church down because he wanted a break, then he feels bad because his people's not getting any food. And you know, it's our duty to uphold and to be here and to hold service, whether he's here, maybe he needs a break, it's our obligation to fill the place.
Amen.
So I think we should have service tonight, and we'll just come and ask the Lord to have his way. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, God is good. He always knows what we have need of and when we need it. And I just thank him for what he's done for us. Amen. You know, it's just so great to see people that serve the Lord, not because they're keeping a fashion or because they're trying to make a tradition, but because there's something burning in their heart and in their life that they want to serve him with all that's in them. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you, and we'll see you this evening. Amen.